This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, the government is in trouble over housing. There's no news in that. And nothing new in that. However, their majority is down to one following the suspension by the Green Party of Nessa Harrigan for 15 months. And they needed support from independents last week to survive a vote in the Dáil. There's two more votes coming up. The Labour Party has tabled a motion of no confidence in the government, which will be heard tomorrow, I think. Sinn Féin has proposed legislation that would see the eviction ban extended until 2024. At the heart of this particular controversy is the eviction ban, which is due to run out in a few days' time at the end of March. The sort of spectre of eviction is very, very emotive for many people. And we're joined now by Fionnán Sheehan. Fionnán is Ireland editor of Independent Newspapers. Fionnán, the government, in a poll that was published yesterday, the Fianna Fáil element in the government is down to 15% now. Fine Gael appeared to be up one and therefore not being blamed. How big a crisis is this for the government, and how have we got to this particular pass? Is it to do with, say, the 70,000 refugees from Ukraine and elsewhere that we have now? We're going to see now so many children, so many families in emergency accommodation, virtually some on the street. Where are we with this, and how do we get here?
Yeah, despite all of the decisions that had to be taken during COVID-19, which was basically about shutting down society as a whole, and you would think that decisions to be taken by a government couldn't get worse than that. But I suppose on a couple of fronts, they had some cover. You had the expert medical advice, with whether you agreed with it or not, whether you really was held too much sway. Government was able to say, look, we're abiding by what we're being told there and reflecting on what's happening in other countries. And secondly, you had a substantial budget to back up those measures. So unpopular as they were, the blow was softened by the opening of the purse strings. The government has, you know, tried to get back on its feet, I suppose, since then. And you can argue that anything up to 2 years of their time and their ability to make progress on issues has been hampered by that crisis. This issue has come up, and you're looking at it and saying, well, it really shouldn't be a surprise that it is such a big deal on a number of fronts. The housing was the biggest issue of the last general election. In terms of the government coming into office, you'd also have to say if they had a number one item on the agenda that they had to make progress on, then very definitely housing was the issue. We've had a new housing plan, which, you know, there's lots of different elements in it, but ultimately we haven't seen the progress that we were expecting in terms of housing supply. And on top of that, you have had the issue exacerbated by the war in Ukraine and the refugee crisis that created. So now we've have this situation with the eviction ban that seems to have come at the government as a bit of a surprise. even though they knew when they introduced the eviction ban in the first place that it couldn't be a permanent measure, that they would have to constantly keep it under review, that there would come a point where they were going to have to rescind it. And it would appear that the eviction ban, the argument is that it's actually almost contributed to the shortage of supply, in that small landlords see it as a further example of over-regulation on top of rent caps being in place already, that this is just a further sign to people who are those small landlords who would have between one and three properties, some of them being accidental, some of them being quite deliberate from an investment perspective, that really property isn't the game to be getting into, and that therefore they are exiting. But I suppose the surprising aspect of this was that as the clock was ticking down towards the eviction ban being lifted, there was little enough action from the government to show we are taking account of the fact that there is going to be a change in circumstances here when this eviction ban lifts, that it is going to have a knock-on effect in terms of evictions are now going to be executed, which have been on hold up until now. And yet they left it quite late to announce it. They seemingly took some of their own coalition members by surprise, and that the Green Party were only announcing the previous evening that the eviction ban was going to be continued in certain circumstances, and yet that didn't prove to be the case, resulting from the meeting that Eamon Ryan, their party leader, was attending. So once this was announced, they then left a vacuum of 2 weeks, in effect, because the Patrick's Day break kicks in, where ministers travel around the globe, and it all sits. And the narrative that took hold during that time period was basically that the eviction ban was going to further exacerbate an already overwhelming housing and homelessness crisis, and that basically you were going to end up with vast numbers of people out on the street. And this did have an impact in terms of shaping the outlook of some TDs and parties within the Dáil. It very definitely emboldened the opposition parties in terms of identifying this as a key issue. And you saw with some independent TDs who were initially saying they didn't have a problem with the eviction ban being ended, they were suddenly flipping and going in the opposite direction, which is, you know, is unsurprising. I mean, many politicians operate off the basis of show me the crowd and the direction which they're going and I'll follow them. So you did end up in that scenario last week where the government was heading into that vote on the continuation of the eviction ban, not really knowing where they were at, definitely knew they were losing at least one Green TD, and didn't know if there was going to be another or a couple more who were coming down the track. They also had a couple of absences from their own benches for illness and people on leave and so on. So they needed to shore up their majority. Into that gap filed a group of independent TDs, the regional independent group, as they're called. They're loosely aligned. They're not in any way, they don't operate under any sort of party whip. They work together on speaking time and motions and so on in the Dáil. But they came forward with a group of proposals, largely speaking, issues that government ministers had been ruling out up until now. They'd been ruling out things like, why can't people who have an elderly family member who is in hospital or a hospital or nursing home long term under the Fair Deal scheme, if they want to rent out the house, they're going to have to pay tax on it. It could affect their entitlements and so on. And the argument was, look, there's all these so-called Fair Deal houses out there in established residential neighborhoods that you could be renting out, but people are afraid to do so because A, it's not worth their while, and B, their entitlements are going to be impinged upon. And what we saw there was that literally was signed off on straight away. And the rural independents, the regional independents, as opposed to the rural independents, were able to say, here's a list of our demands. If you go along with those, some of us will support you and some of us won't. So the government took on board that list of demands, looking at things like planning, looking at things like eligibility for HAP, looking at committing to look at tax breaks or relief of some sort for small landlords, and that'll come up now in the next budget. So as a result, a number of those regional independents were happy to support the government on this occasion, and the government came out of this vote with a significant enough majority to make you look at the numbers and going, well, what were they worried about? But in effect, they were bolstered by these regional independents.
Yes.
With the result that people are looking at now going, well, is this now a three-party coalition, or is it now effectively a four-party coalition, because the government is now looking to independent TDs to bolster their numbers, to cut deals with them, to find proposals where they can achieve common ground, but going into places where they were otherwise unwilling to tread. There was an opportunity in the last budget, for example, to introduce rent relief or income relief on rent for small landlords. It wasn't undertaken, and yet suddenly the government was able to do it.
Well, we might find out this week, Fionnuala, because there are two motions. A motion of no confidence tabled by the Labour Party, which might, well, galvanise Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and the Greens. But the other motion by Sinn Féin seems to me to be more ominous. They are going to introduce legislation proposing that the eviction ban be extended to 2024. So are we likely to find out this week whether it's a three-party coalition or whether the regional independents have signed on?
Well, I mean, the issue with having the regional independents is that you're not getting them into any sort of formal agreement that we had previously in the Jackie Ely Ray era. And even on that occasion, there was always side deals being done. In this case, the government can get proposals being pitched to them, examine them, say that they're willing to take them on board. What was fascinating about last week was the government, what happens is you put forward a motion in the Dáil, as the opposition do. The government comes forward with a counter motion, basically dismissing all of that and saying they're doing a great job. On this occasion, the government did that, but then actually had an incorporeal meeting, which is basically on the phone, a Zoom meeting, where they were willing to take on board eight proposals that the regional independents were bringing on board, effectively formalizing a deal. Now, within that, you'd have to say there wasn't specific pork barrel politics issues that you would look at and say, well, that will benefit a particular constituency and that TD is from that constituent. That's why they've done that. In this case, it was largely speaking, seemed to be proposals that were coming forward that the regional independents TDs were identifying. Most notably, the deal maker in it all seemed to be Michael Lowry, who has always been very good at identifying political opportunities. He came up with some of these proposals as well. He already has a sort of a half agreement with government. He tends to support them on quite a regular basis, and hence the phone tends to be answered when he calls. So what we're seeing now is that basically they're going to have to go through this scenario on a fairly regular basis to ensure that regional independents are on board, particularly around things like motions of confidence. And you'd look at it and say, look, there was no harm in keeping the lines of communication open with independent TDs, particularly when, you know, you're looking at over the course of a 5-year term in office, your majority is going to be whittled away. There will be times when you will need other people to come on board. You'll need to find favour there. If you look at where this administration has gone, they came in from election 2020 with 85 seats in the coalition between the three parties. They also had some independents supporting them on the election of Micheál Martin as Taoiseach, but not with any formal agreement. Since then, you'd say, you look at how their majority has been whittled down. Sean O'Farrell will becoming Count Corla, for example, on the very first day. That reduces a number. Okay, it gives you a casting vote, but you can't count it as part of your formal majority. Owen Murphy resigns as a TD and they lose that seat to Ivana Bacic. Joe McHugh resigns the whip. Mark McSharry resigns the whip. Then Nasa Horrigan is bought in and out an awful lot of the time, herself and Patrick Costello, the Green Party fellow TD, resigned or lost the whip last year as a result of voting on a fairly inconsequential motion on the maternity hospital, which didn't change anything ultimately. The two of them then returned. So now you're down, depending on what way you want to add it up, 80 seats effectively in the government parties, and effectively, you know, you've enough there to get a vote passed in the Dáil. But anybody who's ever served in government will always say the more that you can bolster your numbers, the better off you are, because you don't know where you're going to need them in the future.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Let me ask you about the problem that housing is for people. I mean, the dread of eviction is something I personally know and have experienced. So therefore, if I sit in the Dáil, I would vote for the Sinn Féin motion that proposes that eviction ban be extended for a year. Nevertheless, that's almost putting you in purgatory if you're a person who is liable to be evicted or in danger of being evicted. The bigger housing problem is not going to be solved, is it? By anyone in this country. I noted a poll yesterday that showed Fianna Fáil down at 15%. Fine Gael actually went up a point. It's as if Fine Gael were being rewarded for something. I'm not quite sure what. And Fianna Fáil punished for something. And of course, Sinn Féin around 31%, rock solid. Can anyone fix this housing problem? And why haven't the present government, or indeed its predecessor, done more? Is COVID an excuse, a valid excuse?
You'd have to say housing has almost become the new healthcare. There's always somebody with a plan that is going to radically overhaul the entire system, and this will be the panacea. And of course it won't, because demographics will change. There'll be advances in technology, there'll always be changes in people's circumstances that will mitigate against that. You're a perfectly sensible proposal put forward by the Labour Party leader, Ivana Bacik, at the weekend in her address to her party conference in Cork. She basically said over the course of the next decade, we need to have a million homes. And she was basically saying, you need to be building 50,000 houses a year. You need to be renovating 50,000 houses a year. And that's perfectly straightforward, except she can't answer the question. Where are you going to get the manpower to do this? Yeah. Where are you going to get the workers? And that's our difficulty now, that it's all very nice identifying targets and so on and so forth, but we physically don't have the numbers of people on the ground in order to do this. And actually, it's not the first time that this has happened. Go back to the Celtic Tiger days, and we had to bring in workers and companies from Turkey in order to assist us on that occasion with developing both motorways and housing, both in the private and public sector on that occasion. And the Gamma workers famously became known for another reason, because there was an issue around paying them appropriate wages under Irish law at that time. So we are in that scenario where when you refer to an aversion to eviction, it is an aspect of our past that we don't want to visit again. You go back to famine days and the manner in which people were evicted by landlords at that time. So it has a particular resonance for people within our history. Notably, we're back up to a population of 5 million in this state for the first time since those famine days, so 175 years later, and yet we have a housing problem of a different sort this time around, and that is that we can't provide. So if you look at it, our population is just growing too rapidly in order to keep up, and that's as a result of the booming economy that we have. We're even during the COVID years, even during the latter stages of the last decade, where our economy was still in recovery, we had dramatic numbers of people coming to the country. I know we've been talking a lot about immigration in recent time. The levels of migration into the country, whether that's people returning home who left a decade or 5 years earlier, are predominantly foreign workers who are coming to this country because there are jobs and opportunities available here now. That is running at such a pace that we can't keep up as a result of losing effectively 5 to 7 years of our housing output because of the crash. So, I mean, when the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, says we're short 250,000 houses at the moment, you'd say that's not difficult to agree with. The problem is you're looking to him and saying, and how do you anticipate filling this gap? And ultimately, people can point to things like whether housing is viable, whether the planning system in place is suitable.
Whether skills are there.
Largely speaking, it does come down to the skills and the availability of workers to build these houses.
There's 1,609 families with 3,431 children in homelessness. These are the official figures. I mean, that's deeply shocking. 55% of those people are in single-parent families, which is also very shocking. Those children haven't got anything like a fair start in society. And then, of course, there's the ever-increasing rents. I mean, will we lose, in your judgment, Fionnán, a generation of young people now to emigration again because of this particular problem? But not only that, there are other things. The health service is not in great shape either. But this particular question of finding somewhere to live appears to be, it's deeply shocking. Now, I know journalists don't go in for sort of deeply shocking, sounds like hyperbole, but when I looked at the figures, I was deeply shocked.
Yeah, and what's remarkable about this wave of emigration is, as you say, it's not down to the economy anymore. No. When you go back in our history, and even as recently as the 1980s, the reason why people were emigrating at that time was because they couldn't see, there was no hope of them getting a job,
yes,
earning a living in this country. And that's why they went abroad. Sure, there are always people who will want to travel abroad, and there will always be people who want to live abroad in any country. But we had a wave of emigration as a result of that, going back several generations. Now we have a wave of emigration because we are more educated than we ever were before. We can talk about free third level education and how that has contributed to that. More third level graduates than ever before in our history. We have more high skilled jobs in the country than ever before. We are a very modern economy. We have a well skilled and well trained workforce in this country. But there is a generation of people now emerging from the education system into that workforce, basically looking at the gap between what they earn, even if they are in what we would regard as good jobs, and the price of buying a house.
Yeah.
And they're looking at that gap. And it's also that gap is being taken up by the amount that they are having to pay in rent. And basically people are saying, I can't see myself ever being able to buy a house in this country. Therefore, I'm going to have to go abroad. And that's a very sad aspect, yes, of our history, that, you know, 100 years into the birth of our nation, that we now can't support a generation of our people simply because we can't provide them with a roof over their head for a reasonable price. So that's going to be an issue that is going to blight not just this government, but governments to come as well, because it's, yes, not going to be something that's going to be overcome at the flick of the switch, just as soon as there is a new government put in place or a change of government. And whatever plans are put in place is not going to alter that either, because all of the projections are basically saying as well that the supply issue, once it starts to be in any way alleviated, there is such a level of surplus demand at the moment that it's not actually going to really bring down house prices at all for the regular price of a two up, two down, or a semi-D in a normal town in the country isn't going to suddenly come down dramatically, because there is such a level of pent up demand. There is so much money washing around in the economy as well, that as soon as a greater level of supply comes on board, it's quite conceivable that you will get a new flood of people coming into the buy to rent market. So it's going to take quite some time before people who are in their 20s and 30s are going to actually feel that, like, yeah, my generation can now afford to live in this country, to the extent of not just living here in terms of being able to go out for a few pints on a Saturday night, but actually buy a house, raise a family, feel that they are members of a community of people that have a place that they can definitively call home.
Just a final, a quick question about the two motions. I take the Labour Party motion as for tomorrow, I think, of no confidence in the government. The Sinn Féin motion is more specific, relates to eviction. Will the government have a struggle on particularly on the Sinn Féin motion?
Yeah, the Labour motion, you'd have to say, you know, even though a motion of no confidence in a government appears to be the biggest trigger that an opposition can pull, if you're in government, you'd often welcome it, because it gives you a bit of breathing space. It's not honing in on a particular issue. It's looking across the board. You're doing a bad job as a government. You need to go. We need a general election. And they'll be quite happy to trot out a series of ministers saying, we've achieved this, this, and this. We've dealt with COVID-19. We have a booming economy, and you fellas think we should go out of business. So that I don't really see that being a problem. And also, they'd have an opportunity as well, given that that motion has been put forward by the Labour Party, to basically say this is about jostling for position on the opposition benches. The Labour Party are spooked by the emergence of Holly Cairns as the leader of the Social Democrats, and now they're desperately trying to do something to get themselves a gap in the market and a bit of attention time. So I think on that vote, I think that they'll be fine. There's probably, if you look on the independent benches as well, there may well be people there who have an issue on the eviction ban, but they don't necessarily want to see a general election at this point, particular point in time. So they can either go missing or basically support the government on the day quite comfortably to say the country needs a stable coalition for now. The Sinn Féin motion is tricky, as you say. And if this was the motion that, if this was what they'd put forward in the vote last week, you wonder would it have been even more difficult for the government to attain a significant majority, because it hones in and is very specific. It specifically says, I do not believe that the eviction ban should end now and should be extended for another year. So that's a difficult one, in that you have to go back onto your local radio station and specifically say, not talking about the housing market as a whole, not talking about what areas can be improved upon and additional things that can be done to bring housing on board and to increase supply. But it hones you in on the particulars of the eviction ban, and that's going to create a difficulty. Hence, you're going to have a situation where government will again have to both be shoring up their own majority and making sure everybody is turning up on the day, and also again talking to independent TDs and seeing are there any additional proposals. If you're an independent TD at the moment and you're kind of reasonable in terms of your approach, you'd be looking at it going, is there anything I can put on the table here that everybody agrees is a reasonable enough proposal, but the excuse up until now has just been, well, we don't have the money to do it, or there's some technicality around it. If you are in that position, then this is a great opportunity for you, because you can basically say, look, if you can deal with that issue there, that's been knocking around the system for quite some time, and kick that into gear, then we're in business here. That's a great, powerful position to be in. And it is really ticking off the people on the Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil back benches that basically proposals that they have been putting forward for the last 6 months to a year and nothing happening on them are now suddenly be able to happen at the click of a finger.
Okay, Fionnuala, we're very grateful to you. Fionnuala Sheehan is Ireland editor of Independent Newspapers, and we're always grateful to him when he joins us on the stand. Thanks to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.